Even if you managed to avoid the flu this year, you probably know someone or several someones who had it. It felt like a tough flu season here in the state, but do the numbers really back that up? Our colleagues at WisContext tracked the course of this year's flu season. Associate Editor Scott Gordon joins us now to take a look back. Scott, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
It felt like, to the untrained eye, well, my untrained eye, like a big flu season. What do the numbers show us? Was it as bad as people like me thought it was?
It was a rough flu season. It wasn't a pandemic, but what sort of happened was something that was kind of like the seasonal, you know, flare-up that one typically sees, although people will who study this professionally will caution you that there's no such thing as a typical flu season. But it was kind of like that seasonal curve you'd expect to see, but just more so and more intense. And with the H3N2 strain in the mix, which is a little more aggressive, you know, you had more people in the hospital and things like that. So, yes, overall, tougher than usual.
Now, you use the word pandemic, and that has a technical definition. I don't know if everybody in the field will agree exactly what constitutes a pandemic, but roughly, what would that mean?
I mean, that would be something far more out of the ordinary, where you'd see more of a global impact and, you know, more deaths and, you know, something that's much more of a departure from what you see in a seasonal kind of sense. I mean, this was definitely a tough season. I think everyone agrees on that, you know, for North America and for Wisconsin, but not quite a pandemic. You know, people were kind of worried at a certain point that it could get to that level.
And 2009 was our last pandemic, according to the experts you talked to. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And that was a pretty bad year.
Yes, it was.
And but some of the experts you talked to said this year, this last season, this flu season was proof that even if it isn't a pandemic, it can be bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of hospitalizations that happened, as I said. And, you know, when you see kind of the chart of, you know, flu cases get to that high peak and kind of stay there relatively longer and take a while to drop off from it. I mean, that represents obviously lots of people getting sick, but also going to the hospital and, you know, the pressures being placed on the healthcare system are considerable, especially over the past year where healthcare providers across the country have been dealing with shortages of things like IV bags, which, you know, are pretty crucial and you know, common in taking care of anybody who's hospitalized. And, you know, again, with the H3N2 strain, it tends to just be harder on people in general. You know, even people who are vaccinated are more likely to get sick if it's a more aggressive virus.
And as I understand it, as the main type of flu we had was finally leveling off, there was worry that another one was picking up. It never quite, you know, it didn't turn down that downward slide, but it extended the season longer than it might have gone.
Right. For some reason, influenza A tends to predominate early in flu seasons, and then later on, influenza B will kind of take up and be a greater proportion of the cases. In this case, it did definitely kind of seem to prolong the season, you know, but it didn't negate the drop off in influenza A as that was happening.
And an interesting thing you wrote about is that we think of flu season, and justifiably so. It's when we have lots of flu. There's never a season where there's zero flu.
Right. If you talk to the folks at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene, who sort of pull in testing and data from across the state to track influenza and all kinds of other diseases, you know, they'll point out that, you know, usually in a typical week, in any time of year outside of flu season, they'll still see at least a couple of cases per week. So we're not always in that phase where there's a ton of flu going around and a whole lot of danger of contagion. But where we are right now is as things are dropping off, there is still kind of enough of it out there to create dangers of contagion, and where public health officials are still kind of really hammering on these messages of get vaccinated, don't go to work if you're sick, don't take your sick kid to a nursing home to see the grandparents and things like that. So it's a drop off, but not quite out of the woods, even though it's what most of us would think of as flu season being over.
Scott Gordon is with us from WisContext. We're talking about this year's flu season, a pretty bad one, not one of the worst ones, but a pretty bad one. And Scott, I've learned recently in your reporting and in some conversations we've had here on Central Time, Wisconsin plays a big role in flu monitoring for the whole country. And also, it sounds like we do a lot of monitoring, maybe more so than most states here in Wisconsin, to watch for signs of flu. Is that right?
Right. What's interesting about the state lab here in Madison, the state laboratory of hygiene, is obviously they're doing a lot of scientific testing and a lot of data crunching. But one thing that the folks there really emphasize when I talk to them is that they have to work really hard to kind of keep up this communication network with public health labs and clinical labs around the state to really make sure they're pulling in as much data as possible and that people around the state have the resources they need to gather samples, to ship them out to Madison and things like that. And then going on from there, the state lab contracts with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and helps in kind of the, middle America region, basically, in terms of national flu surveillance. So to some extent, scientists in Wisconsin are also pulling together data from other states in the region to help create, this bigger regional and national picture of what's going on that, ideally helps people respond to flu season, helps people get health resources where they need to be, and, informs what people need to do as far as care and as far as, prevention.
This is a lot of data they're dealing with because it's when and where flu happens, who it's happening to, their age, hospitalization, treatment, if they've come to the doctor. I guess they wouldn't be detected if they didn't. You're a data guy. This sounds like a lot to juggle.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a data guy to the extent that the folks there are. But yeah, it is really interesting. And, again, like I said, it kind of hammers home the very human work that goes into making sure that all that comes together. The other thing is that it's a resource intensive thing. And the federal funding that comes to the state lab as part of this CDC agreement is kind of what enables them to ramp up when flu season gets really intense and to have the equipment they need to do a lot of testing and to have, staff who can kind of jump on it. So, if that federal funding were to go away, we wouldn't necessarily have the same ability to, help surveil the flu, especially, flu from other states. It's not something that people think, state funding is likely to make up for.
You also talked to some experts about big picture flu prediction, and these people are looking around the globe. They're looking at what's happening in India right now, what's happening in Australia, Europe, whatever, trying to figure out what kinds of flu, how bad they are, and ultimately, I guess, trying to figure out, so what do we need a vaccine against? Can you talk about the scope of that effort a little?
Right. I mean, it's a little different everywhere. I mean, what we saw in Wisconsin this year was very much in line with what was happening nationally. But, I've had it pointed out to me in my story, a scholar that I talked with at the University of New South Wales mentioned that, in India, there's still a lot of problems with the H1N1 strain that made the, 2009 pandemic so bad. Great Britain got hit really hard. Mainland Europe, not so much. I'm afraid I don't have a ton of information about other parts of the world, and that's obviously not the whole world. But yeah, it's something where there's always variations, and again, epidemiologists are always kind of careful to stress like there's not necessarily a typical flu season. There's just these kind of familiar seasonal curves that, sort of hold up from year to year.
A couple of the people you talked to referred back to what I imagine is a lurking fear for people who researched the flu 100 years ago. This is 2018, 1918, this horrific flu influenza outbreak killed more people, I think people say, than World War I. So that worries me. But some of the experts you talked to said there's some good news in terms of how we're prepared for something like that.
Right. I mean, what people have said is that at least we know more about viruses and how to prevent contagion and, what to do than we did 100 years ago. And I mean, there is still a lingering fear of, novel strains of the virus that can, do a lot more damage to people emerging. And there's also a lot of fears about whether the way that we prepare vaccines is adequate and whether it's always going to defend, provide the defenses that people need. You know, but people will also point out that even a vaccine that's not perfect, that doesn't completely prevent you from getting sick, could, you know, lessen the severity of what you go through, lessen the burden that you end up putting on the healthcare system if you do get sick.
And finally, Scott, you talked to Wisconsin experts. They're dusting off their hands after a rough flu season. Now, are they already starting to think about 2018, 2019?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure. And I don't know if they necessarily are dusting off their hands quite yet because they're still keeping an eye on it. And things are, like I said, it's what people generally think of it being over. But, you know, it's still kind of tapering off a bit.
We'll leave it there. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. You can find his most recent article on the flu season and all of their work on the topic by going to wiscontext.org and searching for flu.